All right, we are back in that void that requires attention for all of us expatriates of the Pac-12 Conference. My name is John Essa. I'm this Blasian podcast's resident Pac-10 champion. I'm here with my brother, PJN, Peter Nelson, Petey Weedy. He's my Swami 2.0, the largest random access knowledge for our beloved West Coast Hoopers, wrongfully displaced to new conferences. He wants to bring you all the news that you deserve for the teams and the athletes that still belong in a Pacific Conference. This is X-Pax. We got a podcast because we can't rap. Petey, how are we doing, brother?
We got those mountain schools, Utah, Colorado.
Ah, yeah, Utah. This is another one of my neighborhood teams. I used to live just down the street at 9th and 9th, which is actually closer to East High, home of High School Musical. But let's talk about the Utes coaches. Rick Majerus' sweater ain't walking through those doors, folks. But who is Pete?
We got Craig Smith, head man. This will be his fourth year at Utah. Prior to Utah, he was at Utah State for three seasons. Prior to that, he was the head man at South Dakota for 4 years. So this will be, the 11th season as a head coach in D1. He's done a solid job at Utah, not spectacular. But, you know, as you mentioned, Rick Majerus, I don't think Utah has been consistently good since he was there. So not the easiest place to win at. Obviously, they've switched conferences a couple times recently. They were they in a Mountain West maybe before they went to Pac-12?
They must have.
And then now going back to the Big 12. So we'll see what they have and see if they can get some more consistency, consistently good, preferably. But yeah, Craig Smith's there, solid guy. Assistants, first you got Josh Eilert. This will be his first year at Utah. Prior to Utah, he was over in West Virginia for about 17, 18 years, 2007 to 2024. Yeah. Started out as the video coordinator and worked his way all the way up to being the interim head coach this last year. So ton of experience in the college game. West Virginia most recently has been in the Big 12, so some familiarity with the league that they're going to as well. So seems like a good hire for Craig Smith, but we'll see.
Yeah, okay.
Next, you got David Evans, another first-year assistant at Utah. Actually comes from the high school ranks, was the Real Salt Lake Academy program director from 2020 to 2023. Prior to that, he was the head coach at Wasatch Academy for 3 years, which is a pretty successful prep school in that mountain region. And then he was at Lone Peak High School for 3 years prior to that, and they've had a really good high school program for a long time.
Okay, dang. All right.
Next, you got Lo Leaf, another first-year assistant. So this is sort of interesting, right? You got three first-year assistants. So I don't know if Craig either had to turn the roster, the coaching roster over, to try and buy himself some more time, or just sort of happenstance. But he had spent the last 2 years at his alma mater, Sacramento State. Prior to that, he spent 10 years working with the Oakland Soldiers AAU program, four as a coach and six as the vice president of the organization. Oakland Soldiers, one of the top West Coast AAU programs in the country and has been for probably the past 10 to 15 years.
Love it.
Then you got Tyler Larson. This will be his second year with Utah as the assistant coach and director of player personnel. Prior to joining Utah, was the assistant coach and player development for Santa Cruz Warriors of the G League. Played 7 years of pro ball after finishing his college career at South Dakota.
Okay.
So I think that timing might line up with him being there when Craig Smith was the coach there. Some familiarity with that. And then you got Jaden Olson, also his second season at Utah. Multiple different jobs since 2003, including video coordinator, assistant coach, director of operations, and was even the AD at Williston State, which was his alma mater from 2020 to 2023 before coming to Utah. So an interesting staff.
Yeah, pretty green.
Yeah, nobody's been there longer than 2 years. Also, I thought it was pretty interesting that a couple of the assistants, or several of them really, don't have too much college experience.
Right, yeah.
You got some high school guys, so I don't know if that's, you know, trying to crack into sort of their areas in recruiting. So you got Oakland Soldiers, which is Bay Area. Mm-hmm. You got that Real Salt Lake, Wasatch Academy, Lone Peak with David Evans. So that's got some, not just high school, but some, you know, more prep school links there. So interesting group for sure. Not a ton of college experience. Josh Eilert obviously has a ton, so that's great. But I'll be interested to see how the staff works in terms of recruiting and in terms of in-game prep and in-game adjustments, because
how do they mesh, how do they grow,
not a ton of experience on that side. So again, interesting staff, interesting, would be interesting to know the backstory on why so many changes, mm-hmm. you know, turn the entire staff over in the last 2 years and 60% of it this last year. But hey, you know, just like players have an open door for, you know, unlimited transfers, and you got all this stuff going on. Maybe we'll see more of that on the coaching side as well.
That's right. Yeah, we'll see what they can do. What do they got to work with as far as returners go?
Yeah, not a lot. Again, a common theme, and obviously might be common with the staff and the players at Utah this year. But we got three returners, all three of which played pretty significant roles for Utah last year. So we'll get started. You got Gabe Madsen, 6'6", 200. Average last year, 13.5, 4, 2.5 on 43.6, 38.6, 72 shooting splits. This guy's a gunner. He's a shooter. Has good size for a, you know, he's really probably a 2-3 for them. But, you know, if he's playing the two, good size at the two. He was one of the best shooters in the Pac-12 the last couple of years. Really more of an off-the-ball guy, catch and shoot. You know, that's where he's best at. He's improved being on the ball and handling a little bit, but he's a shooter. When he gets hot, you know, he can get really hot. And on the flip side, if he's cold and he's not making shots, he's not doing too much else for you. But
I like, you know, those measurables, though.
Certainly a good player, good size in the backcourt, good shooter. He'll definitely be a starter. He led them in scoring. I think he was second in scoring last year, and he'll, I'd assume he'll lead them in scoring this year. But good player for sure, solid player. Next, you got Lawson Levering, 7'1", 235 last year. Averaged a little over 6 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 2 assists on 53-28-52 shooting splits.
All right.
Much more of a traditional big, even though he shot some threes last year. Transferred from Colorado to Utah last year, so it was his first year in Utah. Split time in the post last year with Kay Bakita and Brandon Carlson. Brandon Carlson played a little bit of four, though, so they played together. Both those guys have moved on. I think he'll be one of the featured post players this year. He'll play at least as much, if not more, than last year. Solid player, if not spectacular, but somebody that for sure is a rotation player at any of the Power Four conferences.
Yeah, like it.
Next, you got Hunter Erickson, 6'3", 195 last year, averaged 4.7, 1.3, and 2 on 42-34-48 shooting splits, which is wild as a backup point guard or starting point guard in some of the games. To shoot under 50% from the line, I think that's probably – I've had some bad shooting years way back in my playing times, and a lot of that's natural. Mental more than anything, but
yeah,
I'm assuming he'll get it back up this next year.
Mm-hmm.
He was the main backup for Devon Smith last year. Smith was a stud. I can't remember where he transferred from to Utah, but now he transferred out, and I think he's at St. John's this year. I think he had a few triple doubles last year. Super athletic point guard. Since he moved on, and I don't know what else we got going here, I assume he's at least going to play, you know, the 19 minutes a game he played last year. He'd gone from 6 to 19 from his first to his second year, so played a lot more. Solid backup point guard option. Ideally, I think that's probably where you'd want to play him. But, you know, he can play a little bit. You're not going to be great if he's your starting point guard, but he can get the job done.
Okay, cool. I made a note to myself here that felt like the free throw shooting that I expected from your Steve Lavin Bruins.
Oh, man.
Like, elite. So athletic. I know we're not talking about the Bruins, but it just makes me think about it. All right. Transfers. Who's coming in through the portal here?
Yeah, they got quite a few transfers and some decent transfers for sure. Some interesting guys. But we'll start with Ezra Asor, 6'8", 247, transfer from East Carolina. Last year, he averaged 11.5, a little less than 5-1 on 51, 37.5, 65 shooting splits. When I pulled up some highlights of him, I was actually pretty impressed. He moves pretty well for being that size, did a bit of everything at East Carolina, played sort of all three levels offensively, would shoot it. From the outside, could post up, handled it a bit, big, strong kid, obviously. I would expect he's definitely in the rotation, definitely somebody that could play alongside Lawson Lubbering inside. He's, interesting. Not that East Carolina isn't in a terrible or small conference, but, I expect, having watched the tape and how he moved and what his size was, that his numbers would be a little bit bigger. So we'll see. We'll see what he does. But certainly a solid guy, somebody that physically can definitely handle playing the four and maybe some small ball five in the Big 12 next year.
Okay.
Next, you got Mason Madsen, 6'4", 200, transferred from Boston College. Last year, averaged 8, 3.5, 1.5 on 40, 37, 7, 96.8 free throw. Yeah. Only 31 attempts, but still 30 for 31. Still impressive.
Yeah. In an empty gym, I've never hit 30 for 31. Not that that's, anyone's bar, but, impressive. Impressive work, man.
Yeah, but if the last name sounded familiar, it's because he's Gabe Madsen's twin brother, actually. Okay. So he played 2 years at Cincy and then the last two at BC. Last year, all of his shooting numbers were the best of his career. Obviously, that's not surprising with the free throw attempts, but, shooting almost 40% from threes, very solid.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of his highlights as well. Similar style of play to his brother. Obviously, he's a couple inches shorter. I don't think he's quite as efficient or good as a scorer as his brother is. But, sometimes you pair those brothers up together. They can get the twin flames going, get hot at the same time. So, I don't know how much, I think he's really similar to his brother and just not as big and not as good. So we'll see what his playing time is, but certainly somebody that's going to be out there at times.
Yeah, I feel like I've never heard of twins not going to the same school together.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, all right, cool.
Next you got Mike Sherevance, Mongolian Mike, as he's affectionately known.
Yes.
6'8", 180, transferred from San Francisco. Obviously he's from Mongolia. I think he's the first Mongolian player to earn D1 Hoops scholarship, so that's an interesting note. His dad was a Harlem Globetrotter, which was crazy. I was like, what's happening here? Last year at Dayton, he averaged 7.73 and 2.7 on 42, 36, 82 shooting splits. Started out at Dayton, then went to San Francisco. 6'8", big guard. Obviously, he's thin, but tall, long. Great passer. His shooting numbers improved last year at USF. Stroke looks really good. He's a solid athlete. Really, I think what Utah's hoping is that he can really sort of put it all together. You can play him and Gabe Madsen in the backcourt as, your 2-3. They have, long athletic guys that can both shoot it, both handle a little bit. Obviously, I think Mike's better at handling, better initiator. I think the hope is that he can take another sort of bigger step forward this year and be one of their featured players.
Yeah, I don't mind saying that this young Thundercat right here has the most interesting bio that you've ever read.
Mongolia. For sure. Dad. For sure. From Mongolia. Dad, the Harlem Globetrotter. happened? It's awesome.
All right. I love it.
Definitely rooting for him. We'll be interested to see how he does.
Absolutely.
Next, you got Keanu Dawes, 6'9", 215, transferred from Rice, averaged about 6.5, 4, and 1 assist on 41, 29, 70 shooting splits. Played about 23 minutes a game last year as a freshman.
Okay. That's good.
So, you know, got some time, got some minutes. I think he's more of a traditional big, you know, he's not huge, but was solid as a freshman. Yeah. A lot of guys take big steps forward from freshman to sophomore year. So assuming he gets a little bit bigger and stronger, can maybe add to his outside game. Somebody that should give them, you know, at the very least another depth piece on the interior.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one too. The best is yet to come for this young man, for sure.
For sure. Next, you got Caleb Lohner. Honestly, he's listed on the roster, and he has played basketball his entire college career, but he is on the Utah football team. And he's playing. He caught a touchdown in their first game.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if he's playing basketball. I guess that he is since he's on the roster, but we'll have to see. But started his career out of BYU playing hoops, played there for a couple years and transferred to Baylor for the last 2 years. Was much more productive in his 2 years at BYU than his 2 years at Baylor. Obviously, Baylor has been a really good basketball program, so that's not super surprising. But he's got career averages of just under 5 points and 5 rebounds and 1 assist a game on 47, 27, 64 shooting splits. He's got good size. Obviously, he's a good athlete, big, strong kid playing tight end right now. You know, we'll be interested to see how he does with football and if that ends up determining whether he plays basketball or not. Because,
yeah, for sure.
You know, if he ends up scoring 8 touchdowns this year or something like that, maybe he's getting looked at in the career NFL change. As a tight end. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Next, you got Miro Little, 6'4", 185. He also transferred from Baylor. He was a highly touted international recruit coming out of Finland last year, but ended up just playing spot minutes at Baylor. Obviously, they were really good. They had other really good guards in particular. He's more of a power guard than being overly athletic. Not a terrible athlete by any means, but, you know, okay. Big, strong kid. Would expect him to definitely be in the rotation, if not challenging for that starting point guard spot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd be surprised if he wasn't their starting point guard.
Okay.
I think he just gives you more than anybody else that they have on the roster. But yeah, you know, he'll need to improve as a shooter and just show that he can be productive at this level. But I think they had to take a shot at somebody from the portal to try and upgrade at that point guard and. Not a bad guy to try that.
Yeah, not bad.
Next, you got Zach Keller, 6'10", 228, transferred out of Wake Forest. He played about 11 minutes a game both of his 2 years at Wake. Career shooting, 35, 25, 52 splits, essentially averaged 2 and 2 a game. He was a guy, if I recall correctly, was sort of a late bloomer in high school. Put it together his senior year and went from being sort of a lightly recruited guy to, you know, sort of a higher priority target for guys. And so when he went out to Wake, I think people were hoping that he could continue that sort of ascension. Just never really put it together. Obviously played 11 minutes a game in the ACC, so he can play. I think the hope for Utah is that he takes another step, sort of a big step forward and can be somebody that's they can count on for production and not just being sort of a 10 to 15 minute a game backup.
Totally. Yeah. Well, shoot, they got a Finnish and a Mongolian hooper coming in. Got to be hoping the change of scenery will be good for a lot of these transfers, maybe more minutes unlock their superpower. I don't know. But are they fending off a pretty strong freshman class then or?
Nope. No, so you got three guys. You know, really, I think, you know, Utah hasn't recruited at a high level out of the high school ranks for forever, really. So yeah. Nothing out of the norm here. I think Craig Smith's done a good job of identifying guys who've been a little under the radar, haven't had those super high recruiting rankings, and have found guys that could play and contribute. So I think that's where he's hoping to be here again. But he got three freshmen. So we'll start out with Jackson Johnson, 6'8", 195, out of Sandy, Utah. He was ranked 110 by 24/7. His eval says, you know, he's a skilled face-up four with deep range and solid offensive skill set, but physically and defensively he's more limited. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like he's a pretty solid offensive player, more of a four than anything else, just I think because of athleticism. But it sounds like he can shoot it, so somebody that can be sort of that stretch four for him, and if he can get bigger, stronger, improve that athleticism a little bit, could be a guy down the road that could be a somebody that can produce for him at a higher level.
Love it. Love a homegrown prospect.
That's right. Next, you got David Katoa, 6'4", 170, another Utah prep product.
Another
one. He's unranked by 24/7, but looks to have been pretty lightly recruited. The other schools that offered him, smaller schools. So, you know, it's hard to say I would expect too much for him here in the short term, but, you know, could be a developmental guy. And again, just because you're not highly recruited doesn't mean that you don't have the ability to produce at the college level. So
absolutely,
we'll see. I'd expect this to be a down the road guy, but honestly, they don't have a ton of depth in the backcourt. So maybe a guy that gets thrown out there and see what he can do earlier. Then
shock the world, young maybe. Man.
Last, you got Ibrahima Traore. If that name sounds familiar, it's because we might have talked about him for Oregon, because he had signed with Oregon, and I said that I couldn't really find anything about him. But as it turns out, must have got released from Oregon and ended up signing with Utah. So he's ranked 202 by 24/7. Dana Altman, when he had signed with them early, called him a project. So I'll trust what Dana said and say this guy's probably a project. So not expecting too much. And they have more depth on the inside than they do on the perimeter. So definitely somebody that might be a redshirt candidate. Or if not, probably just sort of a, you know, scrub minute type thing. So
okay, that feels like this is a bleak outlook. Is there any chance that this squad surprises your beast dubbed Big 12?
No. No. I mean, look, just being honest, I just don't see it. You know, another program, as you mentioned, heading into the Big 12, this roster isn't as good as the other. You know, Arizona, obviously, we talked about, very good. Arizona State, I actually like their roster quite a bit. They have quite a bit coming in. So, you know, honestly, I think this team has one guy that I think might see the floor for some of those better teams that we've covered, like Oregon, UCLA, and Arizona, and that's Gabe Madsen, right? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that's just an absolute flamethrower. You know, every team in the country needs somebody like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's really the only guy that I see on this roster that would be playing consistent minutes for any of the top teams. So the roster has some guys who do have some upside, but, you know, barely any of those guys have actually produced at high levels. You know, even, you know, a guy like Mongolian Mike that we talked about, yeah. We like what we see, we like the upside, but the production hasn't been there in multiple college seasons. So yeah. We've talked about some of the other top programs that loaded up with transfers from a lower level that put up really big numbers, but none of the guys that transferred in here put up monster numbers even at lower levels. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's hard to see this roster, and honestly, you know, not overly athletic anywhere in the roster, at any level, guards, wings, posts. So point guard play is highly questionable. You know, we talked about Miro Little, who barely played at Baylor, probably being their starting point guard this year, and Baylor is in the Big 12 and he couldn't get off the bench on his squad. So we'll see. And again, not to say that he isn't a good player. Baylor had, you know, NBA guys in the backcourt, so
for sure
not a lot of people, especially freshmen, are getting a bunch of minutes there. So you know, looks like a roster with a ton of questions, and I don't know that they have a lot of answers. So I don't anticipate this being a great year for Utah, but Craig Smith is a solid coach. He's going to get the most out of his roster. We'll see, but I think this is probably a lower-level Big 12 team.
Okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but I'm still like Cousin Vinny, dog. I believe in these Utes.
The Utes.
The Utes. All right, me and this Buffs team, we have a complicated history. They've never done anything to me personally, but they've always been that team that we had to face when my Duckies wanted a chance to get trounced by those historically devastating Miami Hurricanes in the 2002 Rose Bowl. But that's still a school that gave us Goro Kulkarni. I just had to do some more name dropping on some of our friends. I sort of wish that he was coaching them, but who really is, Petey?
That's our man, Tad Boyle. Tad's been there for four. This will be his 14th year at Colorado. I think when he first started at Colorado, they were in the Big 12. He's coached them through their entirety in the Pac-12, and now he's back to the Big 12. He, like I said, been there 14 years, all-time leader in wins and second in win percentage. You know, Colorado native. His first head coaching job was at the University of Northern Colorado. He played collegiately for Larry Brown at Kansas. His senior year was Danny Manning's freshman year at Kansas. More to come on that later. And his first college job was actually on Jerry Green's staff at Oregon from 94 to 97.
Oh, shit. Okay, Ted. I do. I like him more now. That was a good throwing.
Yeah. Let's go with the rest of the staff. You got Mike Roan, been at Colorado for Boyle's entire tenure. Prior to Colorado, Roan was a director of basketball ops at Texas A&M from 2007 to 2010. And then prior to that, he was with Mark Turgeon at Wichita State from 2000 to 2007. Next, you got Bill Greer, a longtime West Coast hoops guy. This will be his eighth season at Colorado. He's a Cottage Grove, Oregon native. Started his coaching career at his alma mater, Cottage Grove, from 86 to 90 as freshman and then JV coach before taking the Cresswell job just down the road, 90 and 91. And then took a job at Gonzaga, presumably because he knew the Few family of Cresswell, Oregon,
of course.
In 92. And he was there from 92 to 2007. At which time he got the head coaching job down at San Diego. Spent 8 years there as a head coach, winning 117 games. Then spent the 15-16 season as an assistant at Oklahoma State before joining Tad Boyle.
I did not have Cottage Grove in Cresswell, Oregon on my podcast bingo card today, bro.
Yeah, man, just down the road from us. Next, you got Danny Manning, aforementioned Danny Manning, accepted an assistant role in June of this year to join the Buff staff. As mentioned above, he played at Kansas with Tad Boyle. Manning was most recently the associate head coach at Louisville from 2022 to 24. And prior to that, he was an assistant and then later interim coach at Maryland for Mark Turgeon, who's another Kansas guy and coached all around, including at Oregon that we talked about previously. And then prior to that, he was the head coach at Wake Forest from 2014 to 2020, and he was head coach at Tulsa from 2012 to 2014 prior to that. So he had an incredible college career, culminating in National Player of the Year, Final Four Most Outstanding Player, while winning the national championship in 88, number one pick in the NBA draft in 88, played 15 years in the league, averaged 14-5-2 in 883 career games, so... quite the basketball background.
I feel stunned. Danny Manning is he's an all-timer, man. That's a great get. What a stat. Oh, and you're not done yet.
Yeah, we're still going. One more. Bill Carton, been with Tad all 14 years at Colorado. Director of basketball ops for 11 of those years. Was elevated to assistant prior to last season. Prior to coming to Colorado, spent a few years with the Charlotte Bobcats as the basketball operations assistant and assistant video coordinator.
Yeah, buddy, this is a staff, man. It feels like that's a lot of hoop knowledge to be shared.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of long-timers, sort of the opposite of that Utah staff. A bunch of guys that have been there for a long time, and even the guys that are new have had high-level college jobs.
Yeah, man.
Obviously, a lot of familiarity with... with
the system, the conference,
the system, with the concept, with the head coach, or with the West Coast. So very solid staff for sure.
Love it. They got a good returning crew coming back?
Okay returners. They lost a lot. So, I mean, starting there, I mean, they lost, KJ Simpson was one of the top players in the Pac-12 for several years. Tristan Da Silva was one of the top players in the Pac-12 for several years. They lost a bunch of guys for sure. So the returners that they do have were all mostly reserve players. So we'll see. You know, he's been there for a long time, mainly tried to develop guys, hasn't done a ton of, you know, incoming transfers. Most of his better players have been guys that he's recruited and sort of developed. So we'll see if some of these guys can take that next step.
Okay.
But first you got Julian Hammond the third, 6'2", 193, 7.5, 2.5, 2 on 45, 40, 76 shooting splits. pretty consistent backup guard the last few years at Colorado. Shoots it pretty well. Decent athleticism and feel. He's one of those guys that I know that UCLA sniffed around a few years ago. I liked him. I thought that he would have popped more the last couple of years after playing 12 minutes a game as a freshman.
Right.
But again, he was behind KJ Simpson for all of those years. He's probably one of the best guards to ever play at Colorado, just in terms of a college production standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he'll get the keys to the car now, and he gets 1 year to sort of show out and see what he can do as a future player.
Yup. Time to pop, youngster.
Next, you got RJ Smith, 6'3", 186, averaged about 3-1-1 on 33, 45, 71 shooting splits. Only played in 7 games last year, but averaged 11.5 minutes a game. So I'll assume that he was hurt or something else happened to only play seven games, but average double figure minutes. Generally, something happened there. So only in those, you know, what, 70, 80 minutes that he played, took 15 shots and 11 were threes.
A bomber.
So I'd assume that's where, and he shot it good, right? He shot 45.5% from three and 33.3 overall. So I'd expect he'll have an opportunity to break into the regular rotation this year and play alongside Hammond. And, you know, it looks like he'll be sort of that gunner, that shooter for him.
Yeah. Just don't attempt anything inside the arc.
That's right. Stay outside. Next, you got Javon Ruffin, 6'5", 200, average a little over 2, 1.5-1 on 30, 28, 82 shooting splits. Played less games and less minutes as a sophomore than a freshman. I seem to recall he was wearing some black mask last year, so might have broken his nose or had some sort of injury issue, which could also have been a contributing factor to his shooting numbers being worse last year than his freshman year. You know, the team lost a ton of production, as I've already said, so I think the hope is the shooting numbers get back up to or above his freshman numbers, and he'll be able to be a solid contributor on the wing moving forward. And I remember watching him play over the last couple of years, and it seemed like he could play. So, I mean, I think there are some other factors that might have contributed to him being less effective last year, but it looks like he should have a real opportunity at the very least to earn a lot of minutes and potentially starting at the three spot for him.
Okay.
Next, you got Bengt Dok, 6'11", 180.
Oh, slight.
Yeah. Didn't play a ton of minutes, played about 7 minutes a game in the 23 games he appeared in. Stats and shooting numbers were all, you know, very small sample size, so I wouldn't put too much weight on that. Wasn't much of a threat when he saw the floor last year. Obviously needs to gain some strength and some weight to be able to play more and consistently. So we'll see. I think a lot of his future sort of depends on if he can get bigger and stronger and stay on the court. Next, you got Ahsan Diop, 6'8", 210, averaged about 1-1 last year on 40% from the field and 81% shooting from the free throw line shooting splits. Again, another guy played about 7 minutes a game last year. He did appear in 32 games, so more than Doc. Fairly highly touted player coming out of high school, but really wasn't too much of a factor last year. We'll be interested to see with so many open minutes if he can be more productive this year and get his way into the rotation.
Yeah. Got to get some of that juice back.
Last returner, Courtney Anderson Jr., 6'5", 182. Said he's a returner, but he redshirted last year as a freshman, so didn't play. Went back and looked, unranked three-star prospect coming in. Sort of hard to tell, right? Don't know why he didn't play, whether it was an injury or just, you know, they had a lot of depth in the backcourt. Didn't think he was going to get minutes. So we'll see what he has and if he can get, again, they lost so much. And they're new guys, you know, not highly ranked or not backcourt players. So, so we'll see. Obviously there's minutes available there.
Yeah. It sounded, if I was just conjecturing, that we might have some starters in the backcourt out of that returning list. You got some beef coming in through the portal though, yeah?
They do, yep. So all three of the transfers that they brought in are bigs for sure. So we'll start out with Trevor Baskin. Interesting D2 transfer out of Colorado Mesa. I don't know if that's the same school that Derek White went to, but I know that Derek White was a D2 transfer as well. So maybe trying to hit that home run from D2 schools again.
Mm-hmm.
But 6'9", 210.
Oh, there it is.
Would have to imagine was one of the better D2 players in the country last year, averaged about 18.5, 8.5, and 4 on 58% from the field and 37% from 3.
Yeah.
You know, highlight tape is pretty solid, even taking into consideration the level of play. Shoots it well, good-looking stroke, handles it pretty well, tried to dunk everything that he could around the hoop. Aggressive guy. It looked like, you know, he got to college. His size listings were like 6'7", 180. So it looks like he might have grown a little bit and filled out a lot while he was at Colorado Mesa. So certainly with what they have returning, they're anticipating him being a contributor, if not starting there at probably the four for them.
Okay. I like that.
Next, you got Elijah Malone, like Trevor Baskin, a transfer from a much lower level. He's an NAIA transfer out of Grace College. 6'10", he was listed. I never saw any weights, but he's a big boy. I'd say probably at least 275.
Oh, yeah, beefy.
Yeah, was a National NAIA Player of the Year last year.
Okay, so he's more than just a big body.
Right. Yeah, he can play. And definitely had his options. It looked like he chose Colorado over Indiana, Notre Dame, Boise State, to name a few. So some big schools were definitely after him in the portal. Last year, averaged 18, 8, and 2.5. Huge kid, big hands, soft touch. Another guy that tries to dunk everything when he's around the hoop.
Yes.
You know, I saw some videos of him. He was just an absolute bully on the NAIA level.
I love that.
But looks like, you know, honestly, he could absolutely be a factor for Colorado this year. Again, they have nobody of any significant size returning. So likely starter at center for them from what I've seen. So so we'll see.
Yeah.
And then the last transfer, somebody very familiar in the Pac-12, is Andre Yakimovsky, 6'8", 220. Played the last 4 years at Wazoo, contributor there all four of his years, averaged just under 10, 5.5, and 1 assist on 36, 33, 60 shooting splits. Like I said, averaged between 19 and 34 minutes a game in his 4 years at Wazoo. Never shot it above 38.6 from the field and 38.3 from three, but... you know, hardworking, dependable player, big, strong kid, tough, definitely going to bring all of those intangibles for you. certainly more of a role player than anything else, but somebody that the coaches can count on to do their job and knock down an open shot and be there. So, again, between him and Baskin and Malone, I think those are the three front court players that are probably going to play the most minutes for him.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that recruiting class?
Yeah. So they brought three guys in, none of them super highly ranked, but all of them ranked at least by 24/7 in the top 247. So looks like the crown jewel of the class is Andrew Crawford, 6'6", 175, ranked 103 by 24/7, listed as a combo guard. So, potentially a big point guard for them.
Yeah, they needed a bigger guard.
Yeah, so, gives them a little bit of size in the backcourt, regardless of if he's playing on or off the ball. Mm-hmm. And again, with what they have coming back, just not a lot of depth there. Would assume that he's going to get a shot to at least be part of that rotation early.
Yeah.
Last two guys, not a ton of info out there. You got Sebastian Rancic, 6'9", 210, big kid out of Southern California. He was ranked 146 by 24/7. He's one of those guys that he's probably pretty advanced skill-wise as he's coming in. He's not super athletic, so he might have a chance to earn some minutes early on. But again, I don't know that he's ever, I think his ceiling might be, being sort of an Andrei Akimovsky type of player. Shoot it a bit, not overly athletic, not huge, but somebody that knows how to play. And I'm sure we'll find his way onto the court sooner than later at Colorado.
Okay. Yeah.
And then last, you got Felix Casares, 6'5", 180. He was ranked 173 by 24/7. Bigger guard, I think another guy probably as a freshman, either a depth piece or potential redshirt. They obviously redshirted Courtney Anderson, who's 6'5", 182, so about the same exact size last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have a ton of info on him, but I would assume he's probably in that running with Courtney Anderson, probably play a few minutes a game in the backcourt, or maybe he breaks out. You never know.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, that feels like one of the sort of things when we don't have a ton of information on guys, or, some guys don't have experience at this level or not a lot of tape. It's just stealing football parlance, once those pads go on, I guess we'll see who shows up. But
for sure.
What do you think? Where are you ranking this team overall?
Honestly, I think Tad Boyle has done an admirable job at Colorado over the years. I think they made the tournament last year. Doesn't seem like they were ever, dominant team in the Pac-12, but more often than not, they were in that top five or six and, threatening to make the tournament. This roster doesn't look like it's going to be super competitive in the Big 12 this year, though. Point guard doesn't look super strong. Maybe Hammond takes a big step forward for him, or maybe the freshman Crawford comes in and is better than advertised and adds something there. They're going to have to rely on guys that have not been shooters at this level to be good shooters for them. Their best players might be an NAI and D2 transfer. Maybe it's reaching for that next Derek White. I don't know or think that that's a very sustainable plan. but it seems like this team is full of role players with no high-end talent. And unfortunately, I think like Utah, this looks like probably a lower-tier Big 12 team next year.
All right. X-Pack, X-Pats, we did it. We sized up them Utes and them Buffs. That was good, dude. That was quick.
Yeah, I figured this one would be the fastest one so far.